Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1587, air date September 12th, 2025.
All right. Good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Shiva Iyaduray. The title of today's talk is Why the Swarm Killed Charlie Kirk. This is obviously my systems analysis, but we're also going to talk about what are real solutions by the people, for the people, versus the division, disruption, and distraction that the swarm does. So we go to video, Suresh. So let's start. By the way, we have our open house here every Thursdays at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. I run an open house. Our team, in fact, runs it. We have leaders. We're a global movement all over the world. We're developing leaders. We have a leadership training program. We have what's called a Warrior Scholar Program. Or people can just contribute to us, and you can get involved in many, many ways. You don't have to, get involved formally. There's many ways for people to participate. It's a global movement that's dedicated to truth, freedom, health. And as a part of this, we educate people on taking a systems approach on how to look at the world. And this requires people to understand the knowledge of systems science. Now, without this knowledge of systems science, you typically narrowly look at a very complex situation like the assassination of Charlie Kirk or some incident that's going on in the news with cryptocurrency or some war in Russia and Ukraine. And you're not able to piece it together because those in power do not want you to interconnect things and see the goal that your opposition is up to. And this knowledge is a fundamental framework that you can't learn anywhere else. You can't sort of, you may stumble upon it after 50 years of getting screwed, but we want to save people time. And that is what our movement is all about, truth, freedom, health. And I'm going to talk about that. But before I want to do that, I want to talk about it in the context of Charlie Kirk's assassination. It wasn't an assassination. Now, there are conspiracy theorists out there saying, well, did he really get assassinated? And you can see a lot of videos out there of different anomalies, et cetera. But the reality is this individual, whether you believe he was actually assassinated or not, is no longer on this planet. Okay, so his being does not exist here anymore. So I call that an assassination. Let's take it at face value. The reason is, why did the swarm that we discussed, that you saw in our video, decide to take this action? Is it simply isolated? If you saw Trump's speech right after this, he said, we're going to go after all the organizations and everyone involved in this assassination. So for one wing of the swarm, this assassination enables them to use this individual as a quote unquote martyr so they can continue to exercise division, distraction, and disruption among the masses of people. So that's obvious. But one must also sort of review this event in the context of all the other pieces. And that's why system science is important. So let me give you context of what's actually going on. Remember, as the old saying goes, follow the money. And we at Truth Freedom Health educate people on how to do this in a systemic way. But we also offer solutions, which I talk about. The organization that Charlie Kirk ran, TPUSA, if you go to their website, it says, join the movement, very much like ours says. But what is the movement that they're building? Is this a movement to mobilize working people bottoms up to seize the means of production for them to get educated and how to advance their interests? How to ensure that the mass of working people, the 8 billion people, the 99.9%, actually have a fair day when they're born and when they exit? Or is it going to be based on a birth lottery on what, you know, family you're born into and how they consolidate power? So there's really two different opposing goals here. One is to consolidate power, profit, control. And the other is our goal, which our movement leads, truth, freedom, health. The TPUSA movement, as you study it, was really for the former. It was helping consolidate power, profit, control by disseminating division, disruption, et cetera. So I'm not a fan of Charlie Kirk's, though Charlie Kirk had great respect for me. If you look during the election integrity, started following me. In fact, He still follows me. So I've kept up with him because I want to understand what the propaganda is being put forward to youth. Okay. So let's step back and really give an educational analysis. Again, our movement is the only force that always tells the truth at the right time, not 3 or 5 years later. So this analysis that you're going to hear, you're not going to hear anywhere else. So I want to begin by showing you the tweet that I did. In fact, when the assassination took place and a little bit afterward, if our producers here can bring up that, it would be kindly valuable for everyone here. So if we can bring up that tweet, if you can go to my tweet stream and bring it up on Twitter, can you kindly do that, whoever is managing this? Or if you want, I can do it. Okay, here we go. So if you go to the tweet stream, you can make it a little bit bigger, Suresh. If you can make it a little bit bigger, scroll down. Scroll down, please. Yeah, make it bigger, much bigger, a little bit more bigger. Yeah. And if we scroll down, yeah, keep going before. Yep, before this. Keep going. Before this. Before this, please. Keep going. These are different tweets that we do. Yep. I think it was right before. Actually, it was after this, Suresh. Go back up. Up. Yeah, there it is. Okay. So this is the first tweet I did. I said, so this was right after he was shot. I said, the swarm is on a rapid path to de-dollarize and move us to digital currency, e.g. stable coins, to deliver infinite control for themselves and destroy the working class. They need chaos and division, e.g. black on white, immigrant versus citizen, so we don't unite to shatter the swarm. So that's, we're going to delve into that and go back up, Suresh. And the next tweet I did, if you go back up, by the way, here's our warriors out there, you know, educating people offline, but keep going up. And that right there. Okay, let's bring this up. So my analysis was the swarm devours its own when they become threats. Charlie Kirk followed me and I him. He was evolving to have serious concerns about Israel. His murder silences that evolution and makes him a valuable quote unquote martyr to serve the very anti-Christ forces that executed him. My deepest condolences to his family. All right. So that is a tweet that I did. And I did this tweet because I wanted people to get their head out of, you know what, and stop thinking this was left versus right or right versus left. And also to cut the head off the propaganda machine, which is, and will use his death as a way to perpetuate further division and disruption. This is exactly what Trump did right after. In fact, if you look at the speech he gave, we're going to basically justify more division and disruption. And everyone knows Trump, on the one hand, is dealing with Epstein, which is clear, more than clear, he was extremely good friends with. And he's also dealing with the fact of a significant fundamental issues with an economy that has no, essentially, it's built on sand. And he's dealing with the fact that Russia is maintaining its position. He said within 24 hours of seeking office that he would end the Russia-Ukraine war. Well, that hasn't occurred. And then on top of it, you have the reality that the Trump family in the last, I think, 100 hours, 200 hours, made about $5 billion in the cryptocurrency markets individually, okay? Trump himself and the family increased their wealth by $5 billion. So we got to put all this together. None of this is isolated. And it is our movement which will always provide this deep perspective. All the grifters, all the social media influencers, who basically were Johnny Come Latelys, they watch our content, they watch our material. They know it moves people to truth and freedom and help. So they will wait, sometimes years, suppress our content, and then capture it. So kindly don't send me any of their content to act as though you're finding something new. Take your time, get serious, become a student of our material so you can be a force. Otherwise, you too are just grifting all day long and just moving content around. Our movement is about actually building a real movement to deliver real solutions to unite working people to shatter the swarm. That's what we're about. So as a part of that, let's jump into this analysis. All right. So first of all, many of you know the United States carries an almost unimaginable, you know, debt burden. And if you don't know it, write the number down, $37 trillion in debt. Up until the 43 years leading up to 1981, the debt was around $3 trillion. But after 81, it has explosively grown to $37 trillion in debt. So follow the money. Who's going to pay this debt? What does debt do? Well, debt devalues things. It increases inflation, which means working people, you, get fucked, to put it simply. So this debt is created by the few in the United States, the Fed, in collusion with the large banks like JP Morgan, who are able to print money all day long. And they print money to pump up the stock market, which benefits, again, the 0.1%. Okay? I mean, you saw in the middle of all this chaos, the stock market keeps going up. Larry Ellison just exceeded Elon Musk to become the wealthiest guy by $100 billion. So the debt is a way to subjugate working people and to increase the wealth for the few, because they literally have a printing machine for money. That printing machine is not backed by real assets. It's backed by F-15s. It's backed by Israel, which is the henchman for the elites. Israel does executions. Israel goes and does genocide. Israel gathers information on politicians. Israel serves the trillionaires who live in the shadows that we don't even know. Okay? So Israel's like the ultimate paid mercenary. It executes so that the United States can continue to print that, use that printing machine. So I hope that's clear. So you have $37 trillion in debt that is not backed by anything, but it's backed by Israel, trillionaires who live in the shadows, who profit from that. And it's at the subjugation of the working people, not only the United States, but of the world, because the United States Fed is the bank of all banks. Okay? So don't think about this as an American thing. This is a global thing. When the U.S. prints money that's backed by nothing, backed by F-15s and the brutality of Israel's machine, which serves the trillionaires, it subjugates all of us. So that's number one. So the U.S. $37 trillion debt is a performance indicator which lets you know how fucked you are. Okay? Are you being screwed? Now, this is not a static figure on some balance sheet, right? It's actually a liability, a structural liability that represents a fundamental and profound threat to not only the stability of the United States, but the stability of the world. And not only economic security of Americans, but to all people. And so what are the elites doing in response to this growing debt? Clearly, working people, until our movement came along, really have no other outlet to mobilize. So you just have to sort of sit there and live on this plantation, or follow movements like TPUSA, or follow grifters who divide you, or follow Alex Jones, or follow Tucker Carlson, who are Johnny come latelys, or follow people like Anna Polina, who starts talking about UFOs, whatever you want to talk about, all distractions, so you don't focus on the reality of the economic reality of how it's affecting you. That's what all these grifters are about. And to the extent they talk against Zionism, to the extent they talk about election integrity, all stolen from our material, it's to just keep you entertained, because they're watching which way the masses are moving, and they try to capture that news, not to liberate people, but to make money off views and clicks. So again, kindly do not send me any videos from these fucking people thinking they're doing something great. Stu Peters and all these fuckers. They watch our material, they build their shows, not to build a movement, because building a movement as we just said, someone who does landscaping, means you need working people who knows what it's to work. So our movement is made up of working people who actually understand what the reality of life. We don't give a fuck about these grifters. Again, please don't send me their videos, okay? Go watch our videos. Now, what's their response to this growing debt? They're not reforming the system. They're not even wanting to change it. They're not tightening spending. They're not conspiring to conceal, redirect. I'm saying what they are doing is conspiring to conceal, redirect, and devalue the debt through new mechanisms. You see, so they have this big debt. So the scam that they're going to do is devalue this debt, do a financial manipulation to lower the value of this debt so they don't have to pay all of this, okay? And in order to lower the value of this debt, they have to do a manipulation, okay? So what is that manipulation that they're doing? And without understanding that, you won't understand the subjugation that you are going to be under. Let me just see what's going on here. A second. Okay. Just lost the site here. Okay. So they have to do something to do a shell game to devalue this debt. Okay. So how are they going to do that? All right. So the way that they're going to do that is they introduce a new currency, a new financial vehicle. All right. And that vehicle, the central instrument is called stable coin. You want to write that down. Interesting term, stable coin. So what is the stable coin? And what's the strategy behind it? Now, on the surface, many countries are promoting this concept of a stable coin. And in the United States, a stable coin is linked to what's called Tether, T-E-T-H-E-R. And when you hear about it, stable coin, wow, just the word. Oh, it's a harmless financial innovation, okay? And, you know, it's presented as a digital token that's going to be pegged to the U.S. dollar. So you have the U.S. dollar, and they're linking this thing called a stable coin to the United States dollar, okay? Again, they're making it up. Stable coin doesn't exist. They've created it. And they're going to link it to the U.S. dollar. And that's going to be designed to facilitate transactions in this world of in the cryptocurrency economy. If you notice things like Bitcoin, which were zero, go up and down, highly volatile. And I think it's trading today at about $115,000. So they've created this thing that you hear about called stablecoin, if you haven't heard about it, using something in the United States called Tether. And they present it as something very harmless. Okay, so it sounds like very harmless, but in practice, what they're doing, the stable coin is going to be a pipeline to U.S. Treasuries. Remember, the U.S. prints currency, and it's got these treasuries. So the U.S. has U.S. Treasuries. Some of you may put your money into U.S. Treasuries, get 4 to 5%. Other countries who have capital would buy U.S. treasuries. Why? Because they said, oh, the U.S. is a pretty stable economy. We invest our money in the U.S., we're going to get 4 to 5% return. So there was always this idea that the U.S. is a very stable economy and we would buy U.S. treasuries. China, Japan, Europe has a lot of U.S. treasuries. However, many of these countries are losing faith in the United States government and they're dumping their treasuries. So which means if you have all, so you print money, but no one wants to buy your treasuries. So what are you going to do? So they have to present or they have to create a market for their treasuries. So what they've done is a stable coin, which is POOF, a currency that's created, minted, requires backing, right? For people to believe it. And that backing today overwhelmingly comes from short-term U.S. treasuries. So these stable coins are backed by U.S. treasuries, which we know itself is sitting on a pile of sand. Remember, in the 70s, with the U.S. dollar, up until the 70s, before Nixon came and used to be backed by the petrodollar backed by gold, and we moved to the dollar being backed by the petrodollar. So now, what is the dollar backed by? Frankly, nothing except F-15s and Israel and war machines. So they're creating a new currency out of thin air called stablecoin, which is going to be backed by U.S. Treasuries, which is backed by all of you, the working people of the United States. You know, the liability is on you. So each stablecoin that's being required requires backing, and that backing overwhelmingly comes in the form of these U.S. Treasuries. Now, every expansion of the stablecoin circulation therefore means more treasury debt is purchased. So you have a stablecoin. So let's say people start buying these stablecoins. You're going to have to buy more U.S. Treasuries to back it. Does that make sense? Okay. And so more artificial demand gets created for these U.S. Treasuries. Remember, globally, China, other countries were big holders, are dumping them. So the U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and others are the elites. I mean, he does what he's told, are saying, shit, no one wants to buy U.S. Treasuries. We don't have cash flow coming in. How are we going to do that? Okay, we're going to create a stable coin cryptocurrency. And every time people buy one stable coin, it's going to be backed by a U.S. Treasury. Okay, that's so it's one pile of dog doo-doo backed by another pile of dog doo-doo. But this is what they're selling. Okay. And so more artificial demand is going to be created and more stability, quote unquote stability, manufactured by system that is essentially sitting on cracks. In fact, Scott Bessent, who by the way, used to move money for, who is backed by Soros, who's now in Trump's administration, admitted on a recent interview, he said, quote, we will use stable coins to keep the dollar dominant. And Paul Ryan, if you remember him, the former Republican Speaker of the House, he also said stable coins backed by dollars provide, by the way, the dollars are just being printed by the Treasury, provide demand for U.S. public debt and a way to keep up with China. Okay? So this is not an accident. It's actually a policy. It's a strategy. A week ago, before this guy Kirk's assassination, one of Putin's leading advisors did a Anton Kabiafkov, who's a senior advisor to Vladimir Putin. He warned that Washington is going to use gold and stable coins to deliberately devalue its debt. And Kabiafkov likened this to the 1930s and the 70s, when the United States unilaterally rewrote the financial rules to resolve its crisis at the world's expense. As you know, in the 1970s, the U.S. had a major crisis. We moved off. We moved to the petrodollar. Okay. So today, or moved to the petrodollar. So today, the plan of the trillionaires, remember the U.S. bank, to repeat, the Fed is the bank of the world. Whatever that does, everyone else follows. So the plan is to push the entire global finance system in what Kobyakov called into the crypto cloud, quote unquote, that was his term. And so that means converting these unsustainable liabilities, which is what the U.S. has, $37 trillion in debt, you're going to poof, move them into digital instruments, and then execute what we call a reset. So one day in the not too distant future, you won't have dollars, everything will be stable coins, and things will be massively devalued, particularly for working people. And this will let the elite start a fresh shift with no cost, with no cost to themselves, okay? So you understand this concept of the economy, debt. You understand, hopefully, that they're going to create or have created stable coins. And we'll talk about the two legislations which allow to do this. Before I go, though, let me talk to you about the scumbag by the name of Howard Lutnick. You may want to look him up. He's the Secretary of Commerce for Trump, very close associate of Howard of Jeffrey Epstein, lived next to him. In fact, maybe even sold his apartment to him, but knew Epstein quite well. Well, the stable coin, how did they create the stable coin? So you have the treasuries over here, and you have this poof thing called stable coin. The thing that connects a stable coin to a U.S. Treasury is through a a platform called Tether. Tether, tethering the stable coin to this U.S. Treasury. And that's where Howard Lutnick comes in. So at the center of this mechanism stands Tether. And Tether is the largest stable coin in the world. It's really a platform, but nonetheless, it's a platform, which is the stable coin. And there's about 100 billion already in circulation. So 100 billion stable coin is backed by 100 billion in treasuries. Well, so every time new stable coin's bought, you got to buy treasuries, okay, to back it. And that creates an opportunity for somebody, in this case, Howard Lutnick. He's got a virtual monopoly on this. So every time the public buys stable coin, Lutnick is the real estate agent who buys these treasuries. And guess what? He goes cha-ching. He gets a little piece of the action. Unbelievable level of corruption. This is beyond any third world. And Trump owns Lutnick. Lutnick owns Trump. They're all owned by, ultimately, via Israel and the trillionaires, okay? Because they all have shit on all these guys. But, and who manages the treasuries that back the massive issuance, okay? Howard Lutnick, who, by the way, is the CEO of Cantor Fitzgerald. So Howard Lutnick's firm acts as the custodian, the intermediary for Tethers and its U.S. Treasury holdings. So Lutnick is the CEO of Cantor Fitzgerald, private company, and the custodian of Tether, who's going to make all this money off of every stable coin that's bought, is Howard Lutnick himself. So think about that. So they're moving the entire U.S. economy towards stable coins, going to force people to go in that direction, and Howard Lutnick will make a piece of a little commission on every interaction between stable coin via Tether to U.S. Treasuries. Anyone talking to you about this? Anyone educating you on this? No. We are. And it's very important to get to the heart of what's going on with Charlie Kirk and the assassination that was included, okay? That just concluded. So every time Tether expands, right, every time billions of new tokens are minted, Lutnick's firm profits. So the U.S. government is promoting stable coins, but ultimately Lutnick, who's their head of commerce, sitting on the cabinet of the United States, cha-ching, 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 he's making money for him and his Zionist friends on Wall Street. So Lutnick has effectively transformed a Tether into a private backdoor funding arm for the U.S. Treasury. So he's serving the U.S. Treasury. Every time someone buys stablecoin, he's creating demand for treasuries, which no one wants to fucking buy. And while people, ordinary Americans, see no benefit, Lutnick secures fees. He gets market leverage because the more treasuries he buys, he can leverage that and buy more treasuries. And he gets a little fee for every treasury, right? He gets a 4% of holding those treasuries, and he's getting a transaction fee. And he gets a growing influence at the very core of the entire global financial plumbing system, okay? So that's Howard Lutnick, brought to you by fucking Trump, brought to you by Epstein, brought to you by the Zionist hoodlum system. Now, let's not forget fucking Trump and the Genius Act and the family crypto. Trump's family made $5 billion in the last few days. So this entire operation that we're talking about, stablecoin, Lutnick, and all this stuff, it requires political cover. And that's why Trump's in there. Trump's their political puppet to make sure all of this happens. And it has received exactly that. Trump signed into law the Genius Act. Many of you may not have read it, G-E-N-I-U-S Act. It's actually a statute that formally legitimizes stable coins as a part of the U.S. national financial policy. So Trump gets the Genius Act through, helps Lutnick, and also helps his family. Now, meanwhile, you may know there's a woman, a senator called Cynthia Loomis, and she's also advanced the Bitcoin Act, which proposes that the federal government itself should acquire and hold 1 million Bitcoin, okay, a strategic reserve. So multiply 1 million by 1,000, you get 1 billion. Multiply by another 1,000, and you get 1 trillion. Bitcoin today is trading at about 115,000. So the idea is that the U.S. would buy Bitcoin. And by the way, you can do a little bit of research on Michael Saylor, who many would could probably argue, well, is a CIA agent, and he's out there promoting Bitcoin all day long, okay? So together, all of this stuff really signals that Washington is no longer experimenting with digital assets. That's what we first heard about 10 years ago, but they're fully embraced them as tools of debt management and global power. And then there's obviously Trump himself. Now, Trump and his family are not just content just to create the legislative framework, which is what they've done to support stablecoin and support the global elite, but they've also entered the market. Probably the deal was, okay, Donald, you get to make some money off of this too. And now reaping extraordinary gains. For example, you may have seen they took World Liberty Financial, WLFI, onto the market, and the Trump family personally secured nearly a quarter of the token supply. And when WLFI, again, World Liberty Financial, went public, the stake was valued at $5 to $6 billion on paper. Trump made more money through this scam than he did from all of his real estate holdings, which he was actually going bankrupt. Okay. You also have to consider another thing called American Bitcoin, ABTC, which was founded by both the two doofuses, Eric and Don Jr., and it's listed on the NASDAQ, and the family stake is worth over $1.5 billion in that. Add to that, there's a meme coin called Dollar Trump, where the family-controlled entities retain roughly 80% of the supply, and that's generated Trump and his family another hundreds of millions of dollars when it surged. So these are not minor ventures, okay, or curiosities. They are fundamental pillars of the entire Trump family's wealth now. More wealth Trump has generated through this scam than he did with all of the real estate stuff, which his father bequeathed to him, which he was actually fucking up. He's not a good businessman. He's a scam artist. And the trillionaires who are pulling off the stable coin scam are allowing him to do this. This is his payment, you see? So in fact, Trump and his family has monetized both ends of the system, right? At the policy level, they've legitimized stable coins that funnel capital into the treasuries. And at the private level, by issuing and promoting their own crypto instruments, that's going to capture a lot of speculative flaws, okay? Flows of money, okay? So they're going to make a shitload of money. They are making a shitload of money. So in plainest terms, the personal enrichment of this political dynasty is being done through the very mechanism being used to restructure the national debt, okay? So the scheme is very clear, right? The U.S. has debt spirals, stablecoin hides the cracks and creates new demand for U.S. treasuries. Cantor Fitzgerald, which is Howard Lutnick's firm, profits as its custodian. Trump signs a law to institutionalize the scheme. And the Trump family itself monetizes a trend with billions in crypto ventures. Okay. The people, as always, all of us, we're going to be left behind holding the bill. So what they've done is they've socialized debt. Okay. And they privatized profits. And these are the same people who are against quote unquote socialism. Socialism for them, and the rest of us get screwed. So again, they socialize debt, which means all that debt they're going to create goes to all of us. Higher inflation, anything you have is going to be devalued, and they privatize profits. Okay. But let's be clear, this is a shell game. The debt's not going to vanish. Okay. It'll be devalued, it'll be socialized. You'll pay for it. The working person, the saver, the retiree, right? All of us who are putting money into 401ks, watching every penny we do, right? We're the ones who get screwed. And so here's how it works. So the stablecoin is going to create the short-term demand for treasuries, okay, which delays the debt crisis. So people, the U.S. can tell people, oh, people are buying our treasuries. Not China, not big countries, but individuals are going to buy stablecoins. So the individuals are the ones who are creating demand for U.S. treasuries. But the long-term result in this is going to be inflation, which affects every one of you. Guess what? The dollar weakens. And the weakening of the dollar, even though it may sound contradictory is the goal of the elites. They want to weaken the dollar, okay? And the purchasing power of wages erodes, retirement accounts stagnate, and the cost of living is going to explosively grow. By the way, this is not only in the United States, because whatever occurs in the U.S. affects everyone. So I know we have people like Michael in London, with people overseas. It's going to affect all of us. And so who's going to pay for it? The working class. And the working class will pay for the cost of this reset through essentially diminished living standards. All right. The swarm, the elites, are going to profit twice. They're going to profit two ways. First, through the treasury pipeline they control, right? So Lutnick and all of his buddies, there's a huge network of them, all the scumbags on Silicon Valley, they're going to make a shitload. And second, through the digital assets they brand and sell to the public. So all these digital assets, all these cryptocurrencies, you know, they're going to buy and then they're going to sell back. They're going to hype. They'll sell high, right? And they'll buy low because it's highly volatile. And they create that volatility. So the average person says, oh, I'm going to get into Bitcoin. By the time they're getting into Bitcoin, it's at its peak and it's going to crash. They know when to crash it and they know when to pump it up. So you can't win in this game because it's all insider trading. So this is a classic case of the, again, the losses being socialized and the profits being privatized. Okay, so we understand what stable coins are. We understand how Trump and his scumbags are going to profit. And you actually understand now how all of this puts this debt burden back on us. All right, now, just as an aside, I just want to make this point. China is not buying our treasuries, as I said. And that was a big source of treasury demand, okay? So for decades, you may know China was one of the largest buyers of the U.S. debt, but recently China has been dumping treasuries, reducing its holdings to some of the lowest it's ever had in multiple decades. And that is what is terrifying the elites in Washington, because without having a reliable buyer like China, the U.S. debt risks collapse. Because if no one's going to buy your debt, if the demand goes low, price comes down, okay? So stable coins are a way of solving that problem. They manufacture a new class of buyers, right? Traders, what we call retail, funds, foreign users of the digital currency, right? Who step in into the role once occupied by sovereign governments, right? China exits, but Tether enters. You see, the demand gap is filled. China exits, Tether enters, Lutnick and his Zionist hoodlums make a shitload of money, okay? And you get fucked. So when you start seeing you probably seen those hockey stick curves up until 81, and then the debt soars. When you see Tether's reserves stocked with treasuries, and when you see China's holdings plunge, understand the connection. This is not coincidence. It's by design. So China's going to drop. Tether's going to increase. Lutnick makes money. And through it all, Lutnick is going to smile his way to the bank. Trump signs the checkbook for him, and the family cashes it in. Okay. All right, so I think you're understanding that connection. Let's bring in Russia. Now, Russia's a threat to all of this, okay? And probably the only nation really threatens this is Russia. Now, Washington, while they're funneling the world into these treasury-backed stablecoins, Russia, believe it or not, is building its own ruble-backed stablecoins designed to settle, oil, gas purchases outside the dollar, right? And Russia is also stockpiling a ton of gold and building links between BRICS nations to anchor this new digital currencies and commodities. Now, if Russia is successful, these moves siphon demand for U.S. treasuries created through stablecoin, right? Every ruble stablecoin that's used is one less U.S. treasury. Okay, absorb. Every gold-backed settlement is one less reason to trust a treasury-backed stablecoin. So the stablecoin the elites in the U.S. are trying to do is threatened by Russia's ruble-backed coin, which they're going to back by gold, by the way. So Russia, as I mentioned, exposed this plan publicly. And this is a nightmare for the U.S. elites, okay? a parallel financial block where BRICS nations are trading outside the dollar. Does that make sense? Outside of Tether, outside of the reach of the treasury-backed stablecoins. And in that world, America cannot export its inflation abroad, right? Because if the US owns it all, they get to disperse inflation everywhere. So for example, if you look at the Indian rupee, you know, in 1990, it was 40 rupees to $1. Now it's 85 rupees almost to $1. So whenever the US does is not only do they screw the working class by increasing inflation in the United States, but they disperse that inflation everywhere. They're not going to be able to do that. So the US won't be able to socialize the debt globally, and it's going to be forced to face the consequences at home. And this is why the war with Russia benefits this plan, because now consider why this permanent conflict with Russia serves the US elites. Well, the war, what does war do? War is very, very beneficial to the elites. It forces capital back into the treasuries, which are formed as the ultimate safe haven, right? Because people say, oh my God, I got to support a stable country. I need my money in a stable place. So it's going to create demand for treasuries. So even as the inflation rises, the instability of war drives global investors back into dollar assets. So war is a way for creating demand for US treasuries. So war justifies sanctions that weakens Russia's competing financial experiments, right? By cutting Putin and Moscow off from the Western system, the US hopes to strangle Russia's competitive ruble stablecoin, okay? Right before it even starts. So this is why right now you see, I think the claim was a drone was flying over Poland and Poland said we knocked it down. And now there's talks about invoking Article 5, which means NATO can retaliate against Russia using that as a pretext. Right. So they want war against Russia because Russia is building its own financial system. The scam of the U.S. swarm is to make Trump and his family and all those Silicon Valley people wealthy. And Russia, in many ways, is a competitor to this. Now, war also provides a great cover story. Right. While bombs fall. Right. And people are screaming about tanks. The real financial maneuver will be the expansion of the U.S. treasury backed stablecoin. Right. Continues unnoticed, right? So what I'm sharing with you is not even talked about in the media, but this is the heart of the issue. So they need to create distractions, or they need to make sure that anyone who starts, even among their own circles, even questioning this, you can't have them, okay? And I need to give you this background to give you the system's perspective on how Charlie Kirk fits into this. So kindly be patient. I hope this is educational. And so for the elites, war does something else, okay? It also delegitimizes dissent. So if you start a war, we're fighting for America. So you use that as a way to suppress free speech, suppress protests, go into cities with cops, right? Say, we got to get rid of these lefties, right? Whatever the way they want to use. But ultimately, what they're talking about is they want to stop dissent from the working people rising up to stop all this. And anyone questioning this debt scheme can be painted as quote unquote pro-Russia, right? Socialist, lefty, whatever you want to call it, right? And they're silenced under the banner of patriotism. So war is not only a very powerful geopolitical tool, it's economics, right? It's a narrative control. It's how the elites are going to protect their digital debt machine from its greater external threat. Now let's talk about, with all that background, I hope you have a deep understanding of following the money. This is really about the elites protecting their interests. They know they've created a pile of dog doo-doo by separating the US economy from fundamentals. They created, they print money. Now they want to print, as I mentioned, dog doo-doo on top of dog doo-doo. That's stable coins. And they have a threat, Russia. They also have another threat, a movement like ours, which is educating you on understanding this. And everything that they do is to distract you from understanding this, to build a bottoms-up movement. So they will have, in the last several years, people have stolen all of our content, act like they're fighting against the establishment. Tucker Carlson, you can put all of them down, you know, Booby fucking Kennedy. And you go to our website, we have all of them listed. These people are not anti-establishment. They're actually serving the swarm because their job is to distract people, and it's really the media circus. So none of this would work if the public understood clearly what the hell I just explained. If the more of you that understand this, the more of you that go through our training and are able to explain it, that's how we stop it. Okay. And I have great faith we can do that. People say, oh, people are stupid. They're not going to get it. Nah. You have to build a movement to educate people. Those in power deliberately do not want us to build movements. Okay. So what the elites employ are their most reliable ally. What is that? Distraction, 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 division, which allows them to get to domination. So one week they'll talk about UFOs or 9/11, the building collapse. Fucker Carlson's talking about all this shit when, in fact, he was against even discussing any of this stuff 30, 40 years ago. Suddenly, he's a provocateur. You know, he's CIA. He comes from a family of CIA. And the next week, you know, they'll provoke endless arguments about immigrants versus citizens, black versus white. And then, you know, they'll serve up celebrity trials of Cardi B, right? And scandal after scandal. Cultural war after cultural war. He'll have people like idiots like Fuentes attacking, you know, he'll act like he's anti-Zionist, but ultimately he's talking about blacks on whites, blacks are stupid, whites are better, all this stuff. It hasn't, but he's not building a movement. Any movement that they build is to create further distraction and division, not what we're doing, and we'll get to that. So it's a circus, it's a theater of outrage, constant spectacle, okay? And while you argue about aliens, the debt machine hums quietly in the background. While you fight over immigration, Tether buys another $1 billion in treasuries. And while these social media scumbag influencers, all of them were making money on this, stoke division, right? Cantor Fitzgerald counts its profits. And these theatrics serve a purpose. They keep your eyes, the working people's eyes, we're getting ultimately fucked off the real heist and what to do about it, right? So within that system's context, now you can understand Charlie Kirk's assassination. It was an assassination. And it's the most chilling distraction of all. That's what Charlie Kirk's assassination is. The swarm executed him because they need a big fucking distraction because people are starting to figure things out. People are getting to know what Israel's really about. And in fact, Kirk himself, in the last 4 months, look, I don't support any of the stuff he does, but you know, he's a 31-year-old kid who, by the way, wanted to go to West Point. And I think he, out of a score of whatever, 6,000 or 12,000 they need, he was at 3,000. You needed three characteristics to get into West Point. You needed to play a varsity sport, be really good at sport, and you needed to be really good at academics, and you needed to have done something, social, you know, something contributing. He had started Turning Point in high school. He could say he did that. He was in the middle of doing that. But, you know, he was a horrible student, and he didn't play any sports, right? That's what West Point needed. So he could never have gotten in. And then he used that narrative to say that the only reason he wasn't allowed in was because someone of a different color or gender was allowed it, right, on DEI, but it's bullshit. He was a pro-Israel, you know, black versus white, let's get rid of all the immigrants, blacks are stupid, I mean, it's disgusting, okay? But that's what Kirk was about. However, why? Maybe it was sincere, or maybe because his followers, even within his group, who are, some of them are good Christians, saying, wait a minute, I'm a Christian, is it right to fucking kill Palestinians? So they were even questioning it. So he said, you know, I've been to Israel many, many times. It's a fortress. How the hell did these Hamas people come on hand gliders? It makes no sense. Was it a setup? And I'm not going to go through all of this. You can just find it. Since I put forward this theory, everyone else questioning, saying, well, I can love Israel, but I'm not allowed to critique them. There was a show with Megyn Kelly. So he had started drifting away from the script. And suddenly he's gone. Now, mind you that he is an absolute agent of the swarm, was funded by the Koch, but nonetheless, among the elites, they want stablecoin. They need stability. They need to know, like the mob, everyone's with us. If they see somebody even questioning it an iota, they become a threat. their interests very well, staying in his lane. But, you know, there was a point where he was questioning the Vietnam War. He was stepping outside of the lane. And they had so much shit on Martin Luther King. There are people, so-called civil rights movement. All of his inequities were covered, right? They got a great deal out of that. So Kirk had begun to express some doubts about Israel, rid of a potential guy who may have proceeded down that evolution for consciously good reasons or just to be a grifter, right? Because he's losing audience. He may have done that just to keep his own audience. Remember, he's making millions of dollars off. This is a lot of chaos, right? And you can see when the shooting took place, there's only one camera. You would think out of 3,000 people who were there that where are all the videos? Very few, okay? So now the media devours all this up. His false, oh, did this happen? Did that happen? I see this black dot. So you got all this distraction, okay? And all of this becomes a spectacle. Oh my God, his head, you know, whatever, his neck getting blown. So all of these grifters are out there now. Did this happen? Did that happen? Continues to run, right? So you have all the grifters. Well, I don't know what really happened. We got away. Where's the shooter? All that stuff. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? This is all just fucking bullshit. It's distraction. For Trump, Kirk becomes a looming over him, and he's making a shitload of money, more money than he ever made through real estate, okay? So the assassination also, as I mentioned, serves this very important purpose of transforming Kirk into a quote-unquote loyal figure, right? His doubts are erased by his death. And the dissent inside, if there was a real dissent, inside the movement is neutralized before it can grow, okay? So no one's going to, it's basically a way of keeping, bringing MAGA back into MAGA, okay? And remember, Trump came out with this chilling response. He vowed to go after, quote unquote, any groups and organizations that criticize Kirk. Think about that. So think carefully about what this means. In the shadow of this assassination, criticism becomes disloyalty, dissent becomes treason, and in that climate of fear, who dares to question the digital debt machine? Because that's really what they're protecting, right? All this other stuff is spectacle. So, you know, Charlie Kirk's killing is obviously, you know, our condolences and everything go out to his family and his kids. It's not just a tragedy, it's a tool. It's a weaponized chaos. It distracts hardworking people, working class Americans, white working class Americans. It consolidates loyalty. It silences critics. And at the very moment, elites need maximum unity to execute their plan. So when they talk about unity, they're not talking about the working class unifying to shatter the swarm. They're talking about their unity to protect all the stuff. Now let's connect this to Epstein. Okay? Now there's another layer here. Remember, the trillionaires' names who we do not know who profit from this need to make sure the Trumps, the Lutniks, and whoever else globally executes all of this for them. So Israel is critical to this because Israel, again, is a paid mercenary of those people. So one of the most powerful weapons that they have is blackmail. So Lutnik and Donald Trump, and there's key cabinet members. They've all moved in one way or another through Jeffrey Epstein's orbit. Epstein was not simply a criminal. He was a colleague of leverage. Okay, he cultivated, as you know, networks of influence, if you haven't seen, and assembled all sorts of compromising material that could be used to ensure loyalty. This is why the Epstein files must be suppressed. You may know Trump's own labor secretary, Alexander Costa. He admitted that when asked about Epstein's infamous quote-unquote sweetheart deal, Acosta's one who gave him the sweetheart deal, he said, I was told Epstein belonged to intelligence. So this is not a speculation. Intelligence meaning via Israel reporting up to those trillionaires in the shadows. And that is the testimony from within the government. And other officials have also overlapped Epstein circles, right? Steve Mnuchin, okay? Total scumbag. Wilbur Ross, who's the one who, by the way, saved Trump. Wilbur Ross directly worked for the Rothschilds, and he's the one who structured getting Trump out of bankruptcy. So Trump himself once said of Epstein, he said, quote, he likes beautiful women as much as I do, and many of them are on the younger side, quote unquote, by Trump. So these connections are not just rumors. They're documented in quotes and court records and in flight logs. By the way, there are many of this is already public. And then, you know, Ghislaine Maxwell, who was Epstein's partner, she's also the daughter of Robert Maxwell. And he was honored at his death as what? As a hero of Israeli intelligence and widely reported as a Mossad asset. So the implication is obviously difficult to ignore. Epstein was not acting alone. He was functioning directly or indirectly as an operator in the system of intelligence leverage, which all directly connects to Israel. So when you have anyone who's at the center of all of this, executing the work of the trillionaire swarm class, and they even glimpse at exposing Israel, they become danger. And that's even Charlie Kirk's questioning this for whatever reason, for grifting purposes or sincere purposes, that becomes a threat. Okay? And you have to get rid of that. Again, I'll give you another example. Again, I'm not comparing the eminence of Malcolm X to this guy, Kirk, but Malcolm X, as you may remember, was heavily involved in the inner circles. In fact, he was first or second in command of the Black Muslim movement, okay, the Nation of Islam. And then he started questioning the head of it, Elijah Muhammad. And after he goes to Mecca, Malcolm was moving through a sincere evolution. He realized, wait a minute, this is not about blacks on whites or white on black. This is about the fact that there's a working class and that people of all colors need to come together to smash the working class. The last speech that Malcolm X gave 2 weeks before he was executed was, I believe there will be ultimately be a clash between the oppressed and those who do the oppressing, but it will not be based on the color of the skin. Okay? So when people leave these core mafia groups and start thinking outside, they become a threat. Again, I'm not saying that Charlie Kirk was of this eminence of Malcolm X, but the fact that he was putting it out there, that becomes a threat because you're going to, you follow that thread to the average MAGA person, it's going to lead to Epstein. They're going to see that Epstein could leverage financiers like Litnick, steer political figures like Trump, and ensure that cabinet members never actually deviated from the agenda of these true powers. And who profits from all of this loyalty? Not you, not me, not the American worker, but the hidden billionaires, the shadow trillionaires, whose names remain in the dark. So let me conclude with this, you know. So the narrative is always the same. You got this debt machine that's framed as patriotism. Preserve the dollar, preserve the dollar, innovate with crypto, compete with China, stand against Russia, mourn the martyr. You got it? These are the things that we have, right? And it's just recirculated, right? Preserve the dollar, innovate crypto, compete with China, stand against Russia, right? And now they have a good story with Charlie Kirk to be their martyr. But the reality is much darker, right? You have this debt machine. It devalues debt at your expense. It feeds the insiders. It's sustained by distraction. And you saw in that meeting Trump had all those people sucking his balls, okay? Tim Cook sucking his balls. Satya Nadella, the head of Microsoft, right? I mean, he's a good Indian Ganga Din lackey. All of them. So it's this, and all of this must require the big D, distraction, distraction, distraction. It's since protected by war. It's reinforced by blackmail. That's where Israel comes in. Okay? Israel's like a blackmail machine. And it's shielded by fear of, you know, born of an assassination, right? The people, you and I and others, we pay with inflation. The elites pocket their profits. The media runs for cover. And the shadow trillionaires, a swarm that are pulling the strings, ensure through leverage and coercion that men like Lutnick and Trump and all of them never break rank. So Kirk, whether implicitly, explicitly, because he did some of those shows and you can find them, was starting to break rank. Okay? For whatever reason, he was doing it. And that is unacceptable. Okay? And so the debt, by the way, is not going to disappear in all of this. It's going to be socialized. The profits will remain privatized. And that's the plan. And it must be exposed. And that's what we're doing in today's conversation or today's elucidation through the systems analysis. But let me just tell you, exposing is not enough. I've exposed shit all day long, way ahead of the crowd. So telling the truth is not sufficient because every grifter will watch this video and you'll see them start to copy it very soon. We need actually an alternative, a real solution. And that's why our movement exists. Because unlike the distraction of the TPUSA movement that Charlie Kirk was creating, which is all about dividing us into citizen against immigrant, left against right, black against white, our movement, the movement for truth, freedom, health, teaches us to see the system as a whole, like you've just been given. And you can't do this in a grifting conversation. I have to do this long form. You have to get a little bit of bored. You have to use your fucking brain. And you have to go watch this video again. We are here to unite beyond these false divisions. And we're here to fight the real enemy, the swarm, the elites who profit from all of this while we pay. Okay? So we're not just a brand, Truth, Freedom, Health. We're not a circus. We're not a distraction. We're actually a vehicle for Truth, Freedom, Health, liberation. And it begins with you understanding the science of systems. Now, it's really the antidote for this machine, right? And if you want to break free from the cycle of debt globally, war and distraction and fear, you got to join us. And we have various ways you can join us. Because some of you may say, wow, you guys are doing great work. I'm just going to give you fucking money. I don't have time to take a course. Great, you can do that. I'm going to donate to what you're doing. Great. Some of you may want to start handing out cards going on the ground. Some of you may want to come to our meetings. We've created all of these vehicles. And we are uniting around Truth, Freedom, Health. And we actually have real solutions. Now, how are we doing this? And I'll end with this to let you know that we are in the midst of launching our new website. The mobile version is actually done. The web version still needs a little bit of work. So if we can bring up the website, I want to walk you through this and to show you how you guys can actually participate, okay? But, oh, thanks, Suresh. He's bringing, yeah, can you zoom in? So this is a mobile version, thank you. So, you know, we've had our website for years, but it's sometimes good as you reflect, and that's over the last couple of months, I've been working with our team to really get our messaging clear. But first of all, this is not a movement to distract and divide people and whack, 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 talk all day long. Okay. We're actually people of action. We're empowered by system science. So that requires people to want to study this. Some people don't. That's okay. But the key thing is we're actually delivering real solutions to shatter the swarm. As we scroll down through this, we have our video I recommend you guys go see, The Journey I Took to Systems. And we encourage you guys to join our movement. And when you want to join the movement, we offer completely free courses, connection to the community that you can all start with. Okay. Go down, Suresh. So the key piece is we actually have real solutions. Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones, Charlie Kirk, Booby fucking Kennedy don't have any solutions. And I really want you to get this. We actually have real solutions. We have cytosol, which is a technology that we brought to this movement, which is delivering, which is discovering new medicines from nature without animal testing. We're actually going through the entire research process. As we go to the right, we have a research paradigm, completely new way to do scientific research funded by the people for the people. And we're going after every major disease in the world, independent of the government. Think about that. So when you join this movement, we have a technology platform that can discover new medicines from nature. By the way, 80% of people are on some type of prescription medication. All of you are interacting in some way or one degree of freedom or half a degree of freedom with people who are dealing with this corrupt fucking medical system, which, by the way, feeds Lutnick and feeds the Trumps and all these people. Okay? We have the Open Science Institute, 35 major diseases. We're going to go find solutions to them and we'll show you what we're doing. Food is medicine, okay? We're doing something far beyond what the USDA can do, far beyond what stupid Booby Kennedy. By the way, Booby Kennedy said that he's getting rid. By the way, he came into power saying that he was going to get rid of pharma ads. He never delivered on that. He said, oh, now I've told the pharma companies they have to put all their side effects. That's already been in law. So all he's doing is making up shit to appease MAGA with crumbs. We actually have a clean food certification by the people for the people. We actually look at how the food is sourced, how it came to your table, what happens. And there are products, hundreds of products, millions of product units have gone out there. Next thing is we have Systems Health, a framework to educate a new breed of health educators on how the body is a system. We provide them with tools. It's an income, it's a new income generating vehicle. It's a new career for people. Again, that's through our Systems Health Institute. Then we obviously have systems science education. Everyone here, if you're new, should go to Truth From Health University, become a warrior scholar, okay? We will train you on how to think systems. For another group of people who are more committed, we have our Revolutionary Leadership Training Institute, okay? We're committed to training about 1,000 leaders globally who can actually go to the right, Suresh, please. Who can actually train, you get trained how to build at the local level. The other piece here is for young people. We have our Innovation Corps Institute. Before we do that, we actually have products, okay? Not only are we just talking stuff, we actually create new products that are coming out of Cytosol to actually heal people and support people. Separate from the medical world, many of you know, we're the ones who created the Election Integrity Institute. We're the ones who exposed the flaws in the election system. That Trump, by the way, used all of our material to raise $500 million and didn't do jack shit. We actually trained people how to do legal defense. Nicholas, who's a very good electrician, has been trained now to file Supreme Court lawsuits. If you want to, can you scroll to the right, please? We teach people how to fight, okay? And then for young people, we have Innovation Corps, where we're educating young people and how to actually become an innovator, how to patent and all of that. And then we've trained thousands and thousands of people on getting ballot access. So when you look at this, do you guys understand that everything you hear is hard work? We're actually getting on the ground and delivering solutions. This is not grifting. This is not calling Black people stupid or women dumb or women should just stay at home all day. Right? We're not living in 1950s, okay? That's what these guys are doing. We're not talking, exposing truth about 9/11 or talking about fucking UFOs. Scroll down, Suresh. So we actually have real platforms. So if you guys don't want to do anything, support us in doing this. Now, what are we doing? We're actually solving diseases. We're finding new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. From heart disease, as we scroll to the right, to amyloid leukemia, to pancreatic cancer, to prostate, you can go down. This is what you're supporting. You can give money to them, which is what you're doing, or you can take a few dollars and give it to us because we're actually doing work by the people for the people. And if you scroll down, and to see the proof in the pudding, scroll down, please. You can actually, we just published a major paper in Oxford University Journal on stem cells. You have your own stem cells. There are ways you can accentuate them. As we go to the right, we just published a major paper on ALS. We are publishing papers in major journals. Every one of these papers, other institutions raise $25, $30 million. We're doing this for pennies on the dollar. So you have a movement. Can Charlie Kirk write a fucking scientific paper? I don't think so. Can Alex Jones do any of this work? No. Not only are we fighting and educating people, we're the ones who fought for you during COVID. We're the ones who fought for people exposing election integrity. On top of that, we're doing research, world-class research, publishing in peer-reviewed journals. Go down. So the results of this are the following. We're not dividing people. We're actually delivering real solutions. 1 billion people, when we looked at all the video views, have learned about the immune system. 50 million product units have been rolled out all over the world on clean food. This is from our movement. Over 200,000 people have been educated on, you know, some aspect of system science. Over 20,000 people have understood how their body is a system, okay, using our tools. And we have about 100 plus countries represented. We have over 30 new medicines in development. There you go. So do you understand the stark difference? This is what a real movement is. Go down. And you contrast this to what they're doing, okay? They're stealing your money, as I just walked you through. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. You're going to die sooner and suffer. And whether you know it or not, you're funding that bullshit. So at minimum, you should be supporting us just for your own sake of putting your money in the right place. Scroll down. You got to stop funding them. I know we played the Shatter the Swarm video. And what we're asking of you is, how do you want to do this? Go down. There's multiple levels of participation. Be the solution. Invest in what we're doing. It's really to save yourself. You can donate. You can buy our products. We actually have stuff that will help and heal you. Go down. Or if you're not ready for that, that's fine. Join the community. There's no cost. As you scroll, come to the open houses, invite other people. There's a free course. It's free membership. It's a, I think, a 33-part course. You get a quiz at the end. You can really understand what it will take you to get off the plantation. You can understand some of the basics of system science through examples. Okay? Go to the right. Or you can just go offline as you scroll down. Please scroll down. You can scroll down, please. You can just download these amazing cards we have. We have the Shatter the Swarm cards. As we scroll to the right, there's a card where you can educate people on these solutions. If you're in, you can educate people on the lesser of two evils, okay? You can hand out clean cards, go help your community, restaurants, manufacturers get clean food or learn how to get clean food. You can educate people on systems health. You can educate people on the fact that there's by the people, for the people who are solving diseases. So there you go. If you go back to the top, Suresh. So that's what we're doing, okay? Thanks, if we can bring back the video. So we actually have a movement that's getting people on the ground, teaching people how to fight. You want to learn how to write a lawsuit, come to us. You want to learn how to understand what is clean food, come to us. You see how big of a fucking difference this is versus a guy over here attacking Black people, attacking women, attacking, you know, talking about Christian evangelical stuff. Meanwhile, okay with the genocide in Gaza. We don't have contradictions in our movement. But the key is we want to raise your consciousness, number one, get you off your ass and get you to action. A, B, C, awareness, behavior, and then change. You can't change and start acting unless your behavior, you decide to fundamentally change the behavior, but you got to become aware, but aware of these interconnections. So we've been here, you know, this was about an hour and a half. You guys have all been here for a long time, all 90 plus of you. But the opportunity is that our movement provides this incredible framework at varying levels of commitment to be part of this. Some people may want to just support us. Great. Give us your fucking money because you're going to give it to them anyway. Give us your money so we can expand these solutions, which we're already doing. If you don't want to do that, go through the, become a free member, become part of the course, become part of the community. If you don't want to do that and you want to just quietly educate people on these solutions, you can do that. But the key thing is we need people to recognize that they have a very clear agenda. They are going to make trillions off of you. And there's no opposition right now because they're promoting distraction, distraction, distraction. The average person doesn't have a way to connect the dots. And we need to educate people how to do that. So in some ways, this video is sort of tautological because you're learning and you're seeing what we do in action. Thank you, everyone. Suresh, why don't we take a few questions if people have them? And then we can, I know you guys want to introduce people. Nicholas, if you're facilitating this meeting.
Yes, so please put your questions in the chat. Don't raise your hand. Put your question in the chat and one of the co-hosts or Dr. Shiva will select the question and we'll answer it.
Yeah, and I may interact with you. We just make it a little more efficient because sometimes people just ramble. And if there's people listening on social media, you're also welcome to put into the comments and we'll pick it up. Okay, so we have a question here. It says, who are we mostly indebted to and what happens if the U.S. defaults? How do we protect our wealth from this transition to stablecoins? Do we invest in it? It's a good question. So the first thing is, if you really talk to very smart financial people who've been investment professionals for years, very, very good guys, they'll let you know that, you know, 10, 20 years ago, when they used to do investments, it was actually based on actually studying the company. Is it real? Fundamentals, right? In that sort of 3D world. But now that's all changed. The fourth dimension here is just insider trading. So even though there's no way the stock market should be this high, but the insiders know how to pump it. So if you want to make money, just watch what the insiders are doing. They're all going into crypto. They're all going to go into stablecoin, all the stuff. But you have to be careful when you go into it, because by the time you go into it, they're already getting ready to get out of it. Okay? As a friend of mine said, fear of missing out, FOMO. So when you see everyone, when you see things go really high, more than likely, that's when the masses are getting in. The elites are getting ready to get out. So you have to be very prudent on this. It's no longer about fundamentals. It's about where the elites are going. And then when are they getting in and when are they going out? Because they're all insiders. So they know how to crash the market to bring it down and when to get in and get out. Now, who are we mostly indebted to, and what happens? Well, Ayad, we're indebted to the working people, okay? So the elites are doing all of this on the backs of working people. And when it defaults, guess who's going to pay for it? You, me, everyone else. They're not going to pay for it, okay? Because they are already moving to other assets. They will have moved into precious metals and gold, et cetera. Okay, silver, for example. Silver, you can see where silver is going to go. So everything that they're doing is they're a step ahead. And by the time the masses come into markets and start buying shit, they're already getting out. What's the next question, Nicholas? I see one here. So you said that they will use gold to devalue the debt. Will they reset the value of gold? Look, all of these prices of anything, they control, okay? And they create artificial pricing of all assets. There are certain assets that should be very high, but they artificially control them. So the key thing to remember there, Rose, is that they're controlling. They own all of this infrastructure. So they can control any of this. But the way that they're going to devalue the debt is if a coin is associated with some other asset, treasury or gold, right? You undercut that underlying asset, and then you essentially are going to devalue the debt. That's how they're going to do it. That's how they are doing it. Next.
I have no more questions on my end.
Okay. So in closing, I suggest a couple of action steps. You guys may want to review this video, share it with others, but understand we've taken the assassination of Charlie Kirk, expanded it into a much larger piece. And in closing, Charlie Kirk's assassination serves two purposes. One is among the circle, the inner circle, to say, don't get out of line. We don't want you here. We don't even want you grifting on Israel. Shut the fuck up. That's one piece, right? And Kirk was starting to do that, be it embryonically, be it for grifting purposes, be it for sincere. No one will ever know. But the other piece of this is massive distraction. You'll have all these bloggers doing Twitter spaces. How did he get shot? Was this real? Da, 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 right? Who the fuck is that helping? It's all nonsense, right? And you'll have the Trumpers and the Trump, you know, war machine talking about how they're now justified potentially in disarming people, potentially in going into cities and getting these criminals. Well, the real criminals are Lutnick and Trump and the Zionists, et cetera. They'll never be brought into this. So it's distraction. So at minimum, Charlie Kirk's execution by the swarm was done to serve as a massive distraction to create a quote unquote martyr to support their policies. So working people are constantly in this disarray. And then furthermore, to send a signal, don't say shit against Israel, we'll fuck you up. And by the way, one of our warrior scholars, I think Trey, found out the instant that Trump says, oh, our prayers go to Charlie Kirk, I think it was 3:02 p.m. Maybe it was EST or Central Time, was the same time, exact same time, exact same hour and minute that Netanyahu also posted something similar. Okay? So exact same time, both are hitting the keyboard saying our prayers go to Charlie Kirk, quote unquote, our prayers, right? I don't know what kind of prayers they're talking about. But anyway, get involved. We've given you multiple reasons. Give us money to support all these solutions. We need them because we need to get people working full time. Right now, everyone we have are working people who volunteer time. All those papers, all those developments are coming from people who have another job and they do this. Okay? So all of you who have money, donate. And if you don't want it, and that's great, you can support, because some people don't want to take courses. That's fine. The other people want to take the course, they want to study, and other people just want to get involved. So we've given people multiple tiers, but ultimately we're delivering solutions to shatter the swarm. This is not about division and distraction. That's what fundamentally makes this a real movement. Get involved. Thank you, everyone. I hope you have a good evening. And our leadership team is awesome. They'll finish up the introductions. Thanks, Nicholas. Thanks to everyone. Be well. Be the light.
Thanks.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within. And the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves. Because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you. Deep down inside them. That you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to. And we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that. And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train a army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up. Working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you. The Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up.
his own quote unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. And the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com, so people can sign in, they can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine. But I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email, when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosol, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.